then how are we supposed to learn from Avraham Avinu how to deal with the challenges facing this generation? There's a whole sefer on this, by the way. Here is just a chapter. It's two svarim actually on this. The one we learned together, yeah? Then if you remember, you were here when we learned it. The other one we have to maybe get to sometime. Kuf Tezvav, Livnei Shanim Lo Rabot, not long ago, Yudi Lo Haya Meyin Lechto Lezalzel B'mitzvos O Lizale Mekiu Minag Lelo Prikus Oila Imuna Hayisil Oderech Eretz Klape Atzmoy V'Klape Yudosu. Not so long ago, however that not so long ago is, you want to, once again, for me the cutoff point is 1900, pre-First World War, and for many even after, but the real Chuban was the First World War, both here in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz. Where was the real Chuban? Torah Judaism never got back on its feet again after the First World War. Not here and not there.
What never got back on its feet?
Torah Judaism never got back on its feet properly after the First World War. Terrible, terrible Chuban in the First World War. There was no ways a Jew would be mezalzel or sin without their first being a prikos oil in imuna. Yet derech eretz to himself and to his Yiddishkeit. He couldn't behave in a way different to his imuna. And to contradict himself. And that's why we found that those that didn't want to live like frum Jews became Christians or left the fold. They didn't stay in the fold and carried on living a life of contradictions. The Haskalah started on this Nakuda, attacking Imuna in Hashem and Imuna in Torah's Moshe. And that's why very often in the world of Kiruv today, there are two places you have to start. You have to reintroduce a person back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and back to Torah Sinai. I never understood why I have to prove to somebody that God, if I can just prove to him that Torah is Sinai. Once I prove to him that Torah is Sinai, I made it, there's a God. Very often if you start with that, it's easier. Hayudi haya poirek tchila me'atzmai ol malchu shamayim v'rak lachmer chenyez linoik meretzoyne. First the Jew removes from himself all Malchus Shemayim, and then he allows himself to go against the Rotzon Hashem. Chazal akiru derech chet zeh v'aleim kasvu. This is Chazal already. The Gemara in Sanhedrin already points out. Yoidin hayu Yisrael b'avoydes kachovim she'ein bo mamash. They didn't that to over the Avodah Zorah. They knew there was nothing to it. You get a Jew to dove into a tree or bow down to a stone. You're not clever people. They're not gonna fall for that. They knew there was nothing to it. So then why would they even have gone? They knew it was nothing. They wanted to come out the closet in today's language. You can't. The Torah says you're not allowed to. It's fine. So we'll go even the Avodah Zorah. The Avodah Zorah will let us do what we want. They first remove the yoke of all Malchus Shemayim. Even the Avodah Zorah. The Avodah Zorah says it's Mutter. They didn't want the Avodah Zorah. The Avodah Zorah meant nothing to them. They wanted the Arayas. No, how'd you get the Arayas? You can't live a life of contradictions. You have to be MSD. So why the Avodah Zorah? The Avodah Zorah says it. Is the question an answer or a question? Yeah. What was the notion you said? He said, I have answers for questions. I don't have answers for answers. Claimer, it's Pshat in the Gemara. Lulei achlofes haimuna amitis b'derech muzuyefes, without swapping true imuna with something called a forgery, Yisrael loye musorim shum oifen lichtoy. They couldn't sin. They couldn't sin. Ulam ruach hashtus shel ha'odem hasavur sheyishne das acheres shebechosoysoy muti elo la'asus k'chol ha'ilam aruchay. The ruach hashtus that a person has that causes him to sin teaches him that there's another religion that allows him to do whatever he wants. V'chosoys ruach shtus zu atir yisal atzmes arise. Via this ruach shtus they were mounted themselves, they arise. That's a darga. V'kach amro gemorim m'sech v'soyte resh laki shama ein adem oiv aveire ele imkei nichnoso boi ruach shtus. Resh Lakish teaches us that a person is not even a Veira until initially there's a Ruach Shtus that comes into him. A person in a healthy, sane state of mind doesn't sin. So when does he sin? The Ruach Shtus, whatever that Ruach Shtus is, that's a big discussion. Zeaya Matzav Ba'avor. That's what things used to look like then. People couldn't live with contradictions. And until recently, if a kid wanted to go off the Derech, he went off the Derech. He went and he rented an apartment in Tel Aviv and he took off his kippah and he took off his clothes and he went and he broke away. He couldn't live with the kid that very often breaks the kids. He's pretending to be one thing and he's doing another thing. That was the matzav up to recently. It's completely different today. The Dovin Leva Derech El Achet Vela His Rodrus Petucha Kayom Har Vayesim Asher Ba'av Kefish Nebaya. The way, the path to sin, and the reader is way, way more open today than it was before, as we'll explain. Look, almost prophetic, because when he wrote this, or when he said this over 20 years ago, okay, what's changed so radically in the last few years, we'll try and talk about that a little bit as well, is lurking what he's saying here. But it hadn't happened yet. Hayom olu livatzeh matzev shebo yudi ma'amin b'metzias Hashem. Ma'amin b'schavot. Ma'amin b'kol divrei chazal. You can have a Jew today, he's ma'amin in the whole Torah. He's ma'amin in the Torah, he's ma'amin b'metzias Hashem, he's ma'amin in all the Torah shebal peh. Va'afo b'keinu peirek oil v'choyte. And even so, it's peirek oil v'choyte. Ha'keitza, how does this work? He removes from himself the yoke of Torah in his sins. Full well knowing and full well maintaining his status as a frum Jew. Pochazi my Amadova. Go have a look, try and understand. Tzav Sholes Osim Yedima Im Yesh Hezber Befichem. Go ask this Jew, can explain what he's doing. Tomru Shema Emu Ma'aminim Ba'Hashem. Maybe you don't believe in God. You're using your computer and your kippah. So maybe don't believe in God. I'm not making up stories here, okay? You can look at the files, there are plenty. I heard this from Rav Tzav himself, from people he knew. The one person he told me, he said, if I tell you who it was, you'd fall off your seat. He told me, I'm telling you, choshev choshev and mishpachim b'nei bra. If you knew who it was, you'd fall off your seat, he told me. The wife came to me and said, what am I supposed to do? I can't anymore. I'm in loyachol. Hiding it from the kids, but I happen to know that I'm Yom Kippur. He's in there with the computer. And during the week, he's walking around with a frog. So explain to me. Maybe you don't believe in God. Chas v'chalila. Me not believing God? Yudim ma'aminim b'dei ma'aminim ha'ima. Tom Roshem ha'ini yoidim she'osel enoig b'derech b'ay ma'noigim. Maybe you don't know that it's also to do such a thing. V'kadov lechto yechshoy. Gam zayini nochon. Lo, Baruch Hashem, d'reini yoidim godlu. A generation is well, well, well informed, very knowledgeable generation. Today we know a lot more than you knew before. Elama. So why did he throw off the yoke? Gotsuf, Shabu, Meduchdach, Veroma Zuacheres. He's got a certain pain, he's got some spiritual, what we call in the therapeutical world, some spiritual malady. He's depressed, he's broken, he's whatever's calling the mashber, but he's mashbu.
But it's like someone who is smoking, you know it's not good for him, but he smokes. Why? I don't know.
Oh, we don't know? He feels a need and he feels he's under pressure and he's belachat, and he smokes. It's going to kill you. Whatever, we'll find a way to get around that. He'll only buy the cigarettes. It says cigarette smoking is dangerous if you're pregnant. You know what I'm saying? He'll buy those. You know?
That means at the end he doesn't believe that 100% it's right. Otherwise he will know. He will never smoke. I think so.
Smokers don't believe it kills. Just don't
believe it. It is for the other. For him that will be okay.
True. He can't be killed. No, I'm still alive.
Oh, he doesn't care.
It's a bit more sophisticated than that.
No.
Rav Dessler has a whole essay on smoking. Yeah. Rav Dessler was a smoker. Rav Dessler made a neder to give up smoking. He was much of the neder. He never went back to smoking. There's a whole discussion there. Rav Tet spoke about it here as well. It's off our train, but just, it's the subject of Rotson. Rav Tet spoke about that one patient of his that he had, who had Berger's disease. You know Berger's disease? Berger's disease basically is a shutting down of the blood vessels in the limbs and orifices of a person caused by smoking. Mainly caused by smoking. Okay. I'm just thinking what I heard from the doctor. I'm not a doctor. I sue the doctors though. I was a lawyer. I don't know anything about medicine. I'm just thinking what I heard from Rabbi Tetz. He spoke about it, yeah. In this room he said it. If you were sensitive, you could still hear the words. There was a maestro with a chazanish, no? Chazanish was walking in the pardes in Bnei Brak in the old days, where there was still pardes in Bnei Brak. With a Talmud of his, and he stopped and he said, "Oh, today some Bokrim from Ponovich was standing here talking," and he told them the sugya they were learning. Heard this from Tesiah Solomon. He told him that was what they were learning, the sugya they were learning. How did he know? He could feel the Roshim from the learning that they left there. So, you know, Tesiah Solomon told us, I heard this from him. At the Shabbos table, Azoicha wanted to spend many times, spend Shabbos with him. He told us that he never believed the story. If you talk, Chazanish is one of the parties and somebody spoke there before in learning and he remembered it. He could hear what they'd learned the day before. Hello, you talking, Rabbi Tzitzit, he couldn't believe it. He was on by the stipler, so he asked the stipler if he'd heard the story and what he thought about it. So the stipler said, of course, it's poshut. It's a poshut, it's a borrow of a poshut. Those were the words of the stipler. Person does something, Kedusha, person does something, it leaves a ratio. Someone who's sensitive can feel it. So if you were sensitive, you could feel it. Ted said it in this room. He told the story about Berger's disease. About the conflict between knowing the truth and not being able to give up your tithe. How does that work? Ted has an old essay on that. That's what's driving the ship here. Anyway, this guy came in the first time with Ted's met him, he'd come in for an amputation of his leg, below the knee. The blood vessels start shutting down and there's no blood flowing to the limb and the limb becomes ill. It's cut it off before it poisons the body. That was the first time he met him. The last time he met him, he was being wheeled in, okay, for the last time because there was nothing left to amputate. He'd lost both his leg, both his arms, okay, and they'd rigged up on his wheelchair sort of thing, whatever, a metal pipe or whatever was holding the cigarette, and they were wheeling him in to the hospital for his last journey. He was still smoking. He had this thing. He had no arms. He was smoking from a. He was about to die. There was nothing left. His body was shutting down. They were wheeling him for the last time, and he was still smoking. So you've lost your leg. You know? So how does it work? One second, as Rav Tetz put it, leg puff of a cigarette. Leg puff of a cigarette. How do you take the puff? Which is the stronger desire? The desire to live, or the desire to have a puff of a cigarette? The desire to live is very. How does it override the desire for some 1 second pleasure of a cigarette, if it is a pleasure? Okay, so that's the secret of the sugya of Rotson, that you only have one Rotson at a time. There's no conflict going on between the desire to live and the desire to have a cigarette. There's a desire to have a cigarette. What happened to the Rotson to live? It's not yari anymore. And the minute you have the puff of the cigarette, you'll start having charata, and you'll go back to having the Rotson to live. Until the rotzon to have the cigarette overpowers the rotzon to live and pushes it out. Now he only has a rotzon for the cigarette. Andrew discusses it at length. You see, the trick of the Yetzirah is very simple. The Yetzirah doesn't come smoke till you die. The Yetzirah says, have one puff. What's one puff going to do to you? One puff ever hurt anybody? Never. So have a puff.
And then he comes back to you and he says, I have another puff. What's one puff? One puff hasn't killed anybody. You're the cumulative effect, but he doesn't sell you that. He sells you the one puff. Of course it is. The Buddhist was using cigarette smoking as an example because that's a very acute example. Because it's da, cigarette, da, cigarette. So yes, he knows he's going to die. Just at the moment when he wants the cigarette, the rotsam for the cigarette is what's driving the ship, not the rotsam to live. And the minute he puts down the last cigarette, he puts out the cigarette or whatever, his desire to live comes back and he has enormous charakter that he had that cigarette. And then what happens? He has another one. How do you have another one? 10 minutes ago, you were promising you were making shwurz, you're never going to smoke again. What happened? But that's not our subject. It's another subject, but it's a very important subject. So how's this yid who believes in Hashem and knows in Hashem and is because he's depressed or because he got this excuse or it's his wife's fault or this one's fault or the boss's fault or whatever, he hasn't got the koich to fight his yetzahara and his tivers, and he's going like a horse, you know, like a horse goes off fearless into war. What they're missing is the Nakuda of Avram Avinu Avashalom. They're lacking the understanding of how important they really are. The importance of understanding that they'll be able to withstand the Nisoinus. We've lost the understanding of how important it is to Hashem that we don't sin. That's what's missing. Tell a kid who's taking drugs, why are you putting this garbage into you? I'll tell you, because I'm a garbage can. I've heard this. I'm a garbage can, that's where you put garbage. If he understood who he was, if he really recognized who he really was, he wouldn't be able to use because I'm a melech, I'm not a garbage can. I don't put garbage can in the melech's throne. We don't know who we are. We don't realize who we are. We don't understand how important we are in Hashem's plan of things. Hashem, proud to be walking in the ways of Hashem. George generation doesn't have that. Rabbi Matochainoni Hayo Oizim Oiz Vitatsuma is Lloyd Bagvura Veloy is Pachot Listated Ayatza. Good kosher gaiva. Good kosher gaiva. We don't have it today. We don't have it today. If Bacha used to go to yeshiva, in your days when you went to yeshiva, you were a hero. Yeah? Ever think of you thinking get kicked out of the school? They couldn't kick you out. There'd be no one left in the school if they kicked one guy out. There was four kids in the class. Anybody who decided to go to yeshiva or go to slightly from school was a hero. The schools wanted them. The Ponovicherov went off and then Meshachnet people would come learn whatever, like in the Bolshevi yeshivas today. Today? Every bocher going off to yeshiva knows there's 20 people who want that shtender. And if he managed to get it, wow, is a protector your father must have had. Yeah, or your yeshiva, your Rosh Yeshiva with the Rosh Yeshiva, the Yeshiva Gedoyle or whatever. And if you slip up, kick you out. Why shouldn't they? There's 19 guys waiting for your shtender. Anybody needs you, yeah? You're a hero? You're sitting learning Torah, you feel like you're mamash God's gift? Yeah, you're a nobody like everybody else. You're a second-class citizen, going nowhere, with nothing to look. Kosher Jewish pride? When you do find that, by the way, in the youth today, it's the most beautiful thing to see. It's beautiful, it's delicious. But you don't find it so often today, unfortunately. They were looking out to see what there, my word, what's there, and what's there. And good old kosher gaiva, where is it? Benaisef Nakach. Habaya shel bnei derein in noives mikach shem svurim shashem isparach einu zakuklem. The problem today also is that Yidden today don't understand that Hashem needs them. So what if I sin? Oh, it's going to change Hashem's cosmic plan. What's the problem?
Hashem really cares if I have a cheeseburger. Now, come on, be real. Or whatever else you want to slip in there to the cheeseburger. My chpat Hashem, what I do. When it's gabrish le mula yaitzer, and to give them the strength, therefore, to fight against the yaitzer. Ledaitem ato, benim im yamdim inesone benim lav, in their mistaken understanding, whether they withstand this nisoin or not, hadaveinu manyenes yoyshev meroimim, Hashem couldn't care less. My chpat lo. Or he's sitting there waiting for you to make mistakes again and beat you up. You know, a dysfunctional father, what art in heaven? You know, the big, ugly, grumpy man sitting there with a stick waiting for you to mess up so he can beat you up and burn in hell forever. That's Judaism. That's Yiddishkeit. Who did I hear recently from was telling this story? We were busy learning in the Beis Yankiv about how Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri. Listen to this. So the teacher, I think Wallenstein told us at the Gura conference a story. I think that's where I heard it. It was either him or Olofsky. No one else would tell a story like this. So the girl put up her hand and said, I don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu killed somebody. She said, yeah, he killed the Mitzri. He said, but it's not a nice thing to kill. I mean, like, why did he kill the Mitzri? Couldn't he have dealt with it another way? I mean, we don't just go around killing people. They're killing people is like it's a terrible thing. So what did this teacher do? She closed the Chumash. And said, it's impossible to learn Chumash in this class while there's a Ruach Chumaya. So take out your Tehillims and say Tehillim that this girl will be Chayza B'tshuva. Kosher Jewish pride. She was asking the day. She'd have picked up and hugged her and kissed her for such a beautiful question and gone on to explain to her why Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri. What's the problem? She doesn't know why Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri. Yeah? Somebody asked a question, which the only way she can deal with it is by saying it's an apikorsistic question. If you believed in Hashem and you believed in the Torah, you wouldn't have that kasha. But she had the kasha. Sorry, teacher, Mora, how do we know that there really was a Kriyas Yam Suf? Is that a good question? If she wants to know the answer and she doesn't, that's a brilliant question. If she knows the answer, she's stopped making sticking and ticking. So that's not a good question. So that is to deal with. But if she genuinely wants to know and she doesn't know, so what's the problem? The problem is you don't know how to answer the question, so she must be an apikoros. So you'll embarrass her, you'll mavaza her, you'll do something that you shouldn't do. And that's happening all the time. It's happening during the Valayla. My worst nightmare, okay, is I'll be giving a shiur to secular Jews or whatever, and they'll ask me, what about animal sacrifices? I want to have an answer. Animal sacrifices. Rabbi, when the Messiah comes, you're going to go back and do animal sacrifices? Yeah, you believe in that? You want to explain why that's normal? You know, taking animals and killing them and shechting them on the Mizbeah? Don't ask me that question, because I don't know how to deal with it. I don't have an answer for that. So, either you say, very good question, you know, come see me after and I'll take you to someone to answer your question because I don't know how. Or I'll start choking and spluttering and, you know, insult the guy or whatever. That's what's happening in the classrooms today. Kids have genuine questions. They genuinely want to know what's going on. And no one's prepared to answer their questions because how can you have such doubts? How can you have questions? What do you mean? How do we know that Kriyas Yam Suf took place? What do you mean? That'd be Kairos. The kid wants to know. How do I know? You know, there's evidence, there's proof. Show me how I know. Teachers aren't trained to do anything because we don't train teachers. Teachers that are trained don't have these problems. The teachers that have the courage to go and be trained. That's why Baruch Hashem in America, an enormous amount of energy and money is put into training teachers. But in this country, unfortunately, that doesn't happen. We don't have Rebbe's training courses. We don't. Because my Rebbe taught me and I came out of France, I'll teach you the way my Rebbe taught you. We're in a different generation with different needs and different kids have different perspectives today. You have to change. How do you change? You have to learn. Why do we have to train people to do Kiruv today? No one trained Uri Zohar how to do Kiruv. No one trained Akiva Tetz how to do Kiruv. No one trained Rabbi Yitzhak Ziskin how to do Kiruv, and no one trained Rav Weinberg how to do Kiruv. All the great Kiruv operators in the beginning of the day, no one trained them other than how to do Kiruv. And they were much more effective than the people that have been trained. Why do you have to train them? Because something's changed in the world. And since something's changed in the world, you can't get to the people you want to makariv anymore. So someone who knows how to get to them has to teach you how to get to them and how to win over the minds and the hearts of these people. The same in the classroom. 50 years ago, every Jewish kid, every Frum kid knew, you've got to go to Chayit and you've got to learn. Some learned better, some learned worse, some enjoyed it more, some enjoyed it less, some got more patching from the Rebbe, some got less patching from the Rebbe. But your terapeut, what everybody knew what his tough kid in the world was. And therefore the Rebbe's job was to go into class and teach the kid whatever he needed to teach him, the technical things that he needed to be taught. Chumash with the Rebbe's Taich, and then Mishnais, and Gemara, whatever it was. Today, how many kids sitting in the class know why they're there? The teacher can't just give them the material. He's got to win the hearts and the minds of the Talmud. You look in the Rambam, how you have to teach a Talmud. How do you have to teach a Talmud? Why do we teach the Talmud? Why do we... Mordechai Kruger asked to this Shaila. Why don't we teach our children today? The Rambam says, with Eimer, Beira, with you know, with all the pachad and the discipline or whatever. Do you know what Matisse I said to him? Because he's not your Talmud. When were you coining this kid? When is your Talmud? After you've made a Kenyan, you'll treat him like the Rambam says. The Rambam's made a Rebbe Talmud relationship. You know his Rebbe, he's not your Talmud. When did you win over his heart? He's prepared to give his life. He knows life for him. When you get to the Rambam, before the Rambam kicks in, but the Rambam doesn't kick in at it. You dare not be hard to your Talmud unless he's your Talmud. There are many people when they first went to see Ramosha Shapiro's Zatzal, I think it's his first Yortzeit today or sometime around about now. People told me when they first went to when the few times I met Ramosha, he was so sweet and nice. I never became a Talmud of his. He was always nice to me. people that knew Ramosha first and then became Talmudim, he was fire. People were terrified. So somebody once asked one of the old Talmudim, I understand when I went to Ramosha yesterday, he was so nice to me and he was, you know, I asked him a question and he sat down and he answered to me. The other day I asked him a question and he fried me. So I said, yeah, because you're a Talmud now. Now you're a Talmud, now you get the treatment. Before you just came, you were a visitor or whatever. Of course he was nice and sweet to you. The few cases of Metromation, he was terribly sweet to him, asking questions, he was so nice, whatever. I never became a Talmud, I never got the punch. I wasn't zeichet to get a punch. But a Talmud? You speak to his Talmud, in Drizpa, I'm sure today, the guys are terrified to open their mouth. You think long and hard before you open your mouth. He's a Talmud, he's your Rebbe, he's teaching, he's training, and you want to be there, Beseder. But an 8-year-old in the class, an 8-year-old in Cheder, you can't beat him up. I'll leave you the question. This is Rebecca's famous one, and it's mamash, it's mind-boggling. Imagine you're a teacher, yeah? You've just got the kids to focus, open their chumash, and they've all got their fingers on the place where you want to work with, right? It's taking you a while, everyone's settled, everyone's fine. Now in the back of the class there's a kid who hasn't performed that well this year. He's done almost nothing. You know, the clown of the class, the cocky little kid, you know, always looking for trouble, always avoiding, you know, just like whatever. Yeah. And Rebecca says when he gives this training course to the teachers, the rabbis, that he gives training courses to Yan and Yerushalayim or whatever. There's an organization called Machon Rom. Rav Weber from Nevi Yaakov runs an organization where they train rabbis. So Rebecca, so he tells the rabbis, this is going to happen to you. If you're half a rabbi, if you're half a teacher, and you've been encouraging the Talmidim to know that asking questions is important, this is going to happen to you, and you better be prepared for it, otherwise you're going to destroy your Jews. So as you're about to start Chumash, this kid pops up and says, Rebbe, I don't understand, that bulb yesterday was working, now it's not. How do bulbs work? Okay, go off and think about what you want to do at that moment. It's going to happen to you. Either with one of your kids at a Shabbos table, or if you're teaching, or you're doing something, this is going to happen to you once in your life. How are you going to deal with it? And when you come back tomorrow and discuss it, you realize I had to try that.